welcome to the Avery Adventure Podcast. We have Jordan Budd on the show today. If you don't know Jordan Budd, she is a writer, photographer, and a heck of a young lady. Jordan, glad you're on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I became aware of you about 12 months ago. Like I said, I borderline stalked you to get you onto Rockslide to make sure that you were what they said you were, and you are. You film now, you do editing and producing for Best of the West?
Yep, that's right. Here in Cody, Wyoming, I'm pretty much, I guess I would be like a field producer and editor. So I go out on the hunts with the guys. We've got like 5 field hosts, and there's basically 2 main field producers, me, myself, and then another guy out of Salt Lake. And they just, during the summertime, they line our fall up and give us a schedule. And so we know what hunts we're going to go on, and we go with the guys all over and film shows.
So is this that a full-time gig for you? You do that all year long now?
Yep. No, I do that all year long. 2 years ago is when I started with them, and I just contracted. I would live where I'm originally from in Nebraska. And then I would, as they needed me for hunts, I would just come out to Cody or fly right from home and meet them wherever we're going. And then this last year, they asked me to be on full time. So I moved here a year ago.
So that your job entails, if they're going out in the woods for 3 nights, you got to pack all your stuff to stay 3 nights and the camera gear?
Yeah, well, for the most part, we do horses, so that makes it a little bit easier. But yeah, I'm just kind of ready for everything.
What's your favorite animal to film?
To film, probably sheep. To film,
when you're going, actually, clients are there, and or the actual show's going. I guess it's not clients. Do you enjoy the actual right up to it? You're not, I guess, going right up and doing all the video part. And then when the actual shot happens, are you glad you're behind the camera, or do you wish you're on the trigger?
I really like being behind the camera, because you experience the whole thing, but you might not be the one that has the tag, but it's kind of all the same to me. But I guess I've never really had a sheep tag, so I don't know.
Do you get nervous like you would be hunting right before the shot?
Yeah, I do, because usually it gets a little, we get a little worked up. Like usually it's kind of, the show is based on long range, so we usually have a lot of time to set up. But there's some tense times, and I get sucked into it.
I can tell in your pictures I put up on Rockslide when I introduced you, that those pictures of you sitting by those animals, and I mean, it's obvious you didn't shoot them because you have the camera sitting there, but you can tell in your face you're pretty excited to be there. So that's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, dude, I love it. I love it.
So you've obviously worked for Best of the West, so you've been around their shooting system and the Husqvarna scopes. What do you think about that actual scope? I have actually never used one, but I hear good things about it.
I'm really impressed with them. Like I grew up, you know, we shot Leupolds and Zeiss's and Swarovskis just growing up. This just kind of how my dad was, like, same mentality as us now, you know, buy the best optics that you can. And so when I came on with these guys, I'd never really heard of Husqvarna, and I kind of thought that they were full of it and it didn't really work, and I was like, yeah, whatever, we're going to film hunts, it's all going to be fun. And then when you see them pull the trigger on a sheep, like, and not even on a sheep, like, we'll go talk to people that haven't shot beyond 200 yards, and we'll sit them down, and at like a 950 yard gong, they'll hit it dead center on the first shot. And so it works.
What system do you have? What caliber do you use?
I have a 6.5 284.
What scope do you have on it? Which Husqvarna?
The 5-20.
Have you shot anything with it?
So the first time I got it, I shot a coyote at 540, and I shot a coon at 700 with it. The first 2 shots that were ever out of it were at those 2.
Really?
And yeah, it was nuts. Other than that, though, I haven't. I just kind of been focused on the archery side.
Right. Well, that leads me into the thing. You shot a smoking mule deer in Nebraska. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, he's basically, I mean, in Nebraska, there's big deer there, but especially at home, you know, we never saw this deer behind me, actually. He's like a 170 type deer, and he was the biggest one that I'd seen at home to date last year. And I never thought that I'd see like a 200 type inch deer on the hoof, let alone at home of all places. And my sister had seen this deer like a week before the season, and she said, "I just saw the biggest freaking deer in my life." And I'm kind of thinking, "All right, like, what's a big deer, Alex? What are we talking about here?" So I didn't think a lot of it, but I was actually in Wyoming filming, and I was coming home that next week anyways, just to have a little break and be home for a while. And so we got off the mountain and we got done filming a mule deer hunt, actually. And I drove from Cody to home. I just drove all night, and I was sitting on top of the hill when the sun came up the next morning looking for that deer. And the wind was blowing like 50, and I never saw him that day. And so I'm thinking, like, he's got to be here, but maybe he moved on or whatever. Like, he had just popped up, we hadn't seen him before. So the next morning I was up on top of the same hill looking down. It's basically into like an alfalfa pivot and then down off into a meadow, and then there were some canyons coming off the meadow that they like to bed in. So first thing in the morning, I picked him up with the spotting scope, and I could tell it was a buck, and he was laying away from me, and he was facing straight away from me, and I saw his frame, and I was like, yeah, that's a good deer probably, but I didn't know he was what he was. And then he stood up and turned sideways, and I was like, holy shit. And so I went from the pickup, I grabbed my bow, went from the pickup, and I tried to make a semicircle to cut them off, like where they'd be coming into the canyons. And they never did. They laid out in the middle of the meadow all day. And there was he had like 14 does with him, and there was just no way that I was going to be able to get in range there. And I knew where they came back into the field, there was a gate that they like to go through, because like mule deer there, and any deer really, like if there's a gate open on a fence, like they'll go a ways out of their way just to go through that instead of having to jump over. So I got as close as I could to the gate, and I was 100 yards from the gate. The does came through at 80 yards, and I thought if he came through and swung in a little bit more, I'm really comfortable at 60, and I was going to take that shot. And he swung wide at like 140 yards. So I snuck out of there, and the next morning, they came down out of the pivot really early, and I tried to cut him off when they came right out of the pivot, and they ended up going across the meadow and bedding in the canyons, but they just went right around me. Like, I couldn't move, I couldn't really do anything. They were bedded in the canyons, but I didn't know, it splits like into three fingers. I didn't know which finger they were going to be in. So the wind wasn't really right to come in and just to come in the way I wanted to, that you could see in the best. The wind wasn't going to work, and I didn't want to come up from the bottom. So we just sat there and waited. And finally, at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I saw a doe come out of the canyon and go back in. So I'm like, at least we know which one they're in. And it just kind of felt right. Like, the wind was good in our face then, and I was just like, I'm going. So I went in and got pretty close. I was on my knees crawling. I was just getting ready to peek over the edge to where I thought I could see where they were at. And some does came out of the canyon and started feeding. And I ranged them, and they were at 50 yards. And then I'm thinking, like, okay, I'm going to be sitting here for like 2 hours while they do their thing. And I'm like 50 yards from them, and they're probably going to bust me. And it wasn't 5 minutes later, and he came up out of the bottom dogging the doe. And he got to 50 yards, or he got just followed to where the does were that I ranged before. And he put his nose up in the air and put his head down and started feeding. And when he turned his head away from me feeding, I just drew and shot.
And nice. So how far was it?
It was 50.
Gotcha. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then he ran back down in the canyon, and I sat down and I was like, I'm not going in there. Like, we're gonna wait for a long time. So I called my dad and I was like, I got an arrow in him, but I don't want to go in there for a while. And he said, all right. So we waited. It was about 2 hours, and then I knocked an arrow and we snuck in there, and he was laying probably like 150 yards from where we shot him. He was laying in the bottom with an arrow sticking out of him. So.
Nice. So obviously yeah. that's your biggest buck to date, I'm going to say.
Definitely.
How big is that deer behind you?
He is like a 170 type. He kind of looks weird because he's full sneak, so his head's tipped back a little bit. But
I know this might mess up our camera angle, but can you show us a little picture of him? And I like that shirt, by the way.
Oh, I know, right? Do you want me to get close?
Yeah, get over there. That's a good looking deer.
I'll try it here.
Sorry, messing up your whole system.
No, you're good.
Oh, nice. So that's probably like a mid 170, 175 buck.
Yeah, I haven't taped him.
Is that in the whitetail on the other side, I take it?
Yeah, that was my first deer I ever shot with my bow right there.
Well, that's a nice first buck.
Yeah, and then this guy, I'll just show it off. That guy.
Oh, he's handsome.
Yeah, he's the one. That was a muzzleloader deer from 2014, and I actually filmed that. I self-filmed that one.
Is that where selffilm.com came from?
That came from, there's actually a guy, his name is Forrest Breedlove. He's another, mm-hmm. he's like, I don't know what you'd call it. He's a video guy, but he does his own thing. He's a freelancer.
Right.
And he started that, and there was like four guys on there, and I always talked with them and just showed a lot of interest in the self-filming side. And he asked me if I wanted to come on and be a writer. So that was like my first taste into the outdoor industry.
Nice. Yeah. Our dogs made a appearance.
Oh yeah.
yeah. That's the first, actually, when I first saw you was right when I noticed the self-film stuff. And, on the actual filming part, I was going to ask you, what do you see on the self-filming and just in video and in general on hunts? What do you see the biggest mistake the hunters make while they're filming, self or two guys together?
Probably not getting enough footage. Thinking in your mind you get enough footage and you don't. And keeping a storyline going, like keeping the talking about what you're doing. And I even have trouble with that in the stuff that we film for the show, because it gets to the, you know, we've done so many, or I've done so many of them, that some of the things we do, it's kind of just second nature. Like, it's kind of just something we do. I don't really think about explaining it for people that maybe don't know.
So you think,
or like, don't understand it. So
are you talking more like B-roll? Are you talking more like not, I guess, B-roll, the made up kind of, you know, video you see, or actual action?
I would say more of the B-roll. See, I really like to get stuff on the fly as it happens. I usually have, like, I always have my DSLR right there, like, ready to go, getting something, as if there's something happening, I'm getting it. But, as far as the self-filming side, some people, they get the shot first and then they try to recreate everything. Yeah. And I don't like that.
Me neither.
So much. Yeah. Cause even with the deer that I self-filmed for my muzzleloader deer, a lot of stuff was happening. It was so cold. Like, my camera batteries would just drain because of the cold. So I had them literally like in my shirt, under my shirt, trying to keep them warm and get them warm back up as I was trying to run and get in front of this deer. So I could only get the shot. And then I thought, okay, I'll get the shot and then I'll go back and I'll do some basic recreate stuff. And then I never did. Right. So then you get in front of the computer and you just don't have anything.
I think that my biggest problem with self-filming or filming in general or her filming me is she's always on me because I'm a lazy filmer. I film when it's convenient. So I don't always get the perfect shots. I might get the, it was a perfect shot. Now I'm just filming shit to film shit. So I think that's my biggest problem. She's much better than that. But, and I think a lot of guys fall in that category.
Yeah. They definitely can. It's just, it's kind of, it takes a lot of trial and error. And I've always thought that if you are the one that's editing the stuff that you're filming, it'll help you on both ends because then you know what you're short on when you're editing. So you can get that more in the field next time. And it just kind of, they kind of feed off of each other.
Right. Do you think that you can take like a, was it the Sony A, like is it 6200 or do you think you can do good film with that or good film with a, like a D80 or a low, not a low end, but like a mid range camera? Do you think that's enough for filming?
You definitely can. Like, honestly, I started with a 60D and I still have it. It actually just broke right after I got this new one. It broke and I had to send it in. But like, I've been filming with that for like 5 years now. So that's gone through three seasons of TV shows. And we also carry like Canon XA30 is what we carry for the show for, because we have to get that distance and the pullback. But that's all I use it for, is the getting the shot and the pullback and then like a second angle and maybe some time lapses. Otherwise, everything I shoot is in that DSLR.
That camera you just mentioned, does that have, obviously has a pretty good zoom rate?
Yeah, it does. It has 20 times.
And what was it again?
It's the XA30 from Canon.
Okay. So on your actual lenses, is there a on your bigger camera, is there a do-it-all lens that one guy can just buy that lens and pretty much, you know, if he's a bow hunter or mid-range shooting guy, get all the film he needs with that lens, or does he have to buy multiple lenses?
I think with Canon, this is hard, but the archery guys, I think for self-filming, the 24-105 lens from Canon is, I really like that because you can, at 24, that gives you a wide enough field that you can turn the camera around on yourself and you're pretty much always getting you in it. And you can work focus a little bit better like that. And then the 105, it lets you push in pretty good for archery. Like at 50 yards, you're not going to get a super, super tight shot, but you're still going to be able to see where the arrow goes.
How many days, like if you're going on a 2 or 3 day hunt, I guess how much battery life are you getting per camera? I mean, I know it's temperature specific, but how much battery life do you get out of camera battery?
My DSLR, I usually go through like a battery a day. If I'm filming pretty heavy, like a battery a day is pretty good. But that's with the Canons. This other A7, it's just, they call it like smaller camera, smaller batteries, battery life. I'm going to be going through like two batteries to the one, probably.
Speaking of that note, you've jumped ship. You've jumped from like Bowtech to Hoyt. You went from Canon to Sony. And you watch, there's some cult followings between the two. Why did you make the switch?
And I was a cult follower to Canon before this. I made the switch because the features that the Sony is going to give you over the Canon and like the same lineup, like price point wise, the A7 S2 is comparable to the Canon 5D Mark IV. And this can't, like, this Sony can shoot 120 frames a second in HD, so it's slow motion, like super slow motion, really. And the Canon, you still can't. You can shoot like 60 frames a second in HD, but that's about all you get. And then with the A7 S2, there's an A7 R2 that's more for photography. The S2 is way more geared towards videographers and it has super low light capabilities. So you can, like, I watched YouTube videos where they had their ISO cranked to the sky and it was, you could literally see some stars.
Huh. on the photograph side, you're saying that you bought the S2 because of the low light and the video capabilities, but I would imagine that that's a pretty good actual picture taker itself, huh?
It is, yeah. And I haven't had it very long. Like, I just went out this last weekend as the first opportunity I had to really take it for pictures, and I was super impressed with it. It's all you need for pictures, really.
And just so everybody knows, I am absolutely a camera freaking retard. So if it point and shoot, I like the video aspect of it better, and that'd be the reason I would buy a camera. I'm much more apt to do video, but I'm no Marty Stouffer like Aaron Snyder or you or some of the other guys out there that just, I'll be walking with hunting with Aaron, and he'll make me stop to take a picture of a piece of goddamn bark.
Yeah, I mean, like, even this last weekend, like, solo-wise, I look like an idiot because I have the 10-second timer on here. So I'll, like, have a shot that I want me in it, so I'll, like, hit the 10-second timer and I'll run out and, like, halfway frame it up and then try to be in action doing something. I look like an idiot, but...
What about a GoPro? Can't you just, like, you know, strap one of those to your chest and just go for it or what? Now, that's what we would use for everything, because we're lazy like that.
Yeah, that's a good way to get everything. Like, just turn it on and just kind of let it roll. Like, that's kind of the all. I'll take one with us. When we're doing the show, I have one on a little stake. And I'll just, like, stab it out off to the side of us looking back. Right. So it's just another angle. It's getting everything.
Brian, the Gritty Bowman, he showed me that. He has them on trekking poles. So the same thing. That's how we got her cougar shot on film, as we stuck it in the ground and I was about 100 yards away filming another direction. But those are the tips of the trade. How do you like a GoPro overall for filming?
I think, like, for a second angle or for, like, a third angle, more than likely, I really like it. I don't ever want to, like, rely on one. You know, if you get on YouTube and you look at them, like, when they have them attached to their bows, or they just don't, you can't zoom in on them really. Especially if they're set on super wide, the deer looks like it's like 400 yards away, and it just,
and their battery life just sucks.
Dude, the threes, I haven't tried the fours, but the threes, I literally, like, I will leave camp in the morning and it will be charged, and I will say, okay, it is charged, ready to go, and I'll throw it in my pocket, and then we'll get up to where we're going and it hasn't turned on at all, and I'll try to turn it on and the battery will be like one bar left.
It didn't get any better. I got a 5 and it's still the same way.
Dude, I don't know, but the twos are really good.
I didn't even know there was a 2. Hell, I didn't even get into it until there was a 4. And the only reason I did get into it is because Brian showed me how goddamn lazy you could be. Just stick it in the ground and walk away.
Yeah. So how does that
you
work?
You can get some awesome stuff.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you can get some really good stuff on the GoPro.
So do you find, like, when you're trying to edit, like, shots from a GoPro to one of your better cameras, is it really drastic with, can you not edit them together very well because it's such a difference in quality of the picture, or?
No, I'd say the quality of the pictures is okay. It's just, you can't, you know, there's no zoom. You can't get tight on the deer and then pan around. And especially with, you can't really change, you know, they're on automatic all the time. When you stick them in the ground, or when you turn it on, it's pretty much automatic. You can't change your aperture, shutter speed very easily as, like, you can with the DSLRs. And that's, but that's what they're for. You know, they're like an action camera.
On a just kind of a different note, is there anything you were packing around last year you looked at the end of the season and said, shit, why am I packing this thing?
Besides other
the GoPro stuff. Started to be that way.
The GoPro?
Yeah, because they always died, man. I just wanted to throw it after it kept doing that to me. Not really. I kind of had things dialed at the end of the season. I can't think of really anything big that I carried with me even in the beginning. If anything, maybe like extra batteries, a ton, you know, like a bunch of extra batteries. I could take three with me, and I knew that no matter what happened, I'd be good for like a day and a half.
So you're running a Kefaru pack. You're running the Reckoning, correct?
I have the Reckonings. What I use for every day is the 22 mag. That's pretty much my go-to day pack. Like, I kind of rig it. I put cord around it so I could hang it over the saddle or the saddle horn on the horse. And so, like, that's the one I take with me everywhere. And it's been awesome and bomb-proof.
Oh, that's the thing that over the last, I don't know, 8 years, I think I've owned it. I owned it before I started Rockside. I owned one, and I had it for 6 years, 7 years maybe, and they're bomb proof. You can't beat them; they just don't break. But on that note, what tripod? Because I get this, I see this question a lot on Rockside. What tripod and head are you running with those cameras?
For the show, we carry it's a Manfrotto carbon fiber. I don't remember what the number is, but it's not like a really little, you know, it's a fairly substantial set of legs, but it's still carbon fiber and it's fairly light. It's just kind of bulky. The head, we're using the 500s, the Manfrotto 500s, and they're just a little bit smaller and easier to handle.
Okay, I just wanted to throw that part in there before I forgot. But getting back to Kefaru, I guess I'm jumping around a little bit, but getting back on Kefaru, how is the Reckoning? Are you going to use it this year? Or are you going to still stick with that 22 mag?
I think day hunting, for my personal self, I'll use the Reckoning for sure. But the 22 mag for the stuff we do with the show, it works a little bit better because we're like on and off horses a lot, and it's just the perfect size.
Well, just for general knowledge for women, how tall are you?
5'10".
So you have a longer torso, because my wife's 5'8", and she runs a 22 mag. What's your torso length? 5'8". Sorry, I'm 5'8". She's 5'5". I don't know what the hell I'm saying. What's your torso length?
And torso length, I don't even know. My inseam is 34. Good so, like, I've God, got longer legs. I know. I've Can got a dunk? Lot longer torso. Huh?
Can you dunk?
No.
Did you play any basketball?
I played basketball in middle school, uh-huh. And but that was during hunt. Well, yeah, basketball wasn't really my thing.
Good lord, yeah, that 5'4" 34 inch inseam. I think I'm rocking a 30. I'm built low to the ground. I'm compact, Jordan.
I'm compact. Oh man. Yeah, well, I was watching the Gritty Bowman the other day, and you were talking to Aaron.
that dude fucking lies.
About the moon. He lies.
He said it was, I don't know what he said. It was like 400 yards. It was damn near a mile to get to the road before I turned to run the 400 yards. But I don't know if you've ever been there before, but the snow, like I said, the snow was about, I don't know, mid-calf. And when I got to that road, I don't know if you ever get that feeling in your face, but you know it's over and there's nothing you can do about it. That's where I was.
Oh,
at.
Yeah. gotcha.
He's a better storyteller than me, but there's no damn way it was 400 yards. No damn way.
Yeah, that's what, when you said you're compact, that's what.
Oh, that's yeah. What I'm, made me think I was about. Packed tight. I'm like 5'8", 217 right now. So I'm actually going to start a thing on the podcast. I'm going to say my weight on every podcast. So hopefully it inspires me to cut some fucking weight. So right now, Jordan, just so you know, and she knows, I'm 5'8", 217 pounds, and I need to be 5'8", 175. So I'm putting it out there online so I get my shit together.
Gotcha.
And the next time you see him, I'm not here. It's because he's murdered me because he's crabby from not eating.
Yeah, I'm crabby. I probably threw her in the grinder and ground her up and ate her.
Ate her. Oh, God.
All right. So getting back on track and kind of staying with the photography theme, because it gets asked all the time. I don't know if you saw, I made that new photography forum because people
it's
are
awesome.
Into it. Yeah, that picture a day thing is like exploded.
What? It's Yeah.
What do you think is the number one mistake for just general photography of grip and grins? And I mean, I know this is kind of a broad topic, but grip and grins, landscape, just what are your tips and thoughts on that, I guess?
First one I say is know your camera, like learn your camera, because, you know, just because you don't have like a $3,000 camera body doesn't mean you can't take really good pictures, and vice versa. Like, you could pick this camera up here and put it on auto and take a picture and you'll be like, this thing sucks. But if you learn your camera and kind of understand, at least have a general understanding of like your shutter speed and aperture, you can manipulate your camera to do things to get some really cool shots and ones that are like you see them, I think.
I know you want to show it off, so you can show it up there if you want on the screen.
I just put a battery grip on it.
Oh, man, that is nice.
Because otherwise, it's small. It's so small.
Don't lie. You sleep in that thing, don't you? You put it right next to you on your pillow.
I don't. I haven't yet. No. No.
So now that you've had it a week or so, what's the general consensus?
I didn't know how the actual pictures were going to be, because it's like it has a 12 megapixel sensor and my Canon had like an 18, but my Canon, not to get too crazy, it's a crop sensor, and this Sony is a full frame.
Oh, get crazy.
Get crazy. Okay. So a full frame, it means like there's you're using the whole entire sensor. Like the sensor is just, it's huge. Whereas like the crop sensor, it's small. It's really small. So you're not letting near as much light in pretty much when you're taking the picture. So, yeah. And then, with this Sony, it shoots a high mega, I think it's a megabit or not megapixel, it's a megabit. In your image, like how much information is in your image. And like when your shadows are really dark, in post-processing, you can pull your shadows up and it just, like you can pull them up a lot more with this than you can with mine. So you can just make them look a lot better, you know. Like pictures don't always look super good coming out of the camera, but once you hit the post-processing, you can make them like pop and look kind of how you want them to.
Boy, you and Aaron could get together and talk some nerdy shit.
You might probably not be able to get man, a word sheep in. Show's coming.
Yeah, he told me you're going to the sheep show. I lost my train of thought there. I was going to ask you something about that camera. That camera has to be, what, about a pound or so lighter than the Canon, or no?
I would say like a pound. It's a lot. When I opened the box, I was like, what the hell?
What'd they sell me?
So little. And it's so much, yeah, it's so much lighter. I wish if I had my Canon here, like I could compare them for you, but it's a bit smaller and it's a lot lighter. And it just, for how small it is, it's so much more powerful. It's kind of crazy.
So what's on the agenda for 2017 with Jordan Budd and Best of the West?
Not sure yet. We'll do some bear hunts this spring, and then the summer will be pretty chill. And then we'll get back into the stuff this fall, but I don't even know, you know, as far as Best of the West goes, we're not going to know what hunts we have for quite a while yet.
Right. They don't have any staples they do every year.
Not really. We usually, the staples are kind of more, like we go out to Birch Ranch but it's like, you know, it's a truck hunt pretty much.
Gotcha. Do you have any backpack hunts yourself lined out at all?
I'm definitely going to just buy a general, deer tag and go where I went last year. Kind of where I went last year. Last year, I had to draw the tag because I wasn't a resident, and I couldn't go in the wilderness. And I had a little incident with a dude with a dog and a crossbow.
What?
So,
what?
Yeah, dude. I shot a buck opening morning. I've been watching them all summer. There was four of them together. I've been watching them all summer, had their patterns down. we were going to Manitoba on the 2nd of September. We were flying out. So I had the first, like, one day to get it done. But I was like, I know where they go every day. Like, I think we can do it. When they bed up, we can do it. And sure enough, like, they came over, dropped into the basin, were feeding around, went up and bedded in some rocks. And it was, like, 9:30 in the morning. And I was going to give them until, like, 12:30 for everything to switch and then go in above. And this dude comes up the bottom of the basin with a crossbow and his dog. Like, and his dog was running out in front of him all over the place. It was really weird. And I just got instantly really mad. And I was like, he's going to go below the deer and blow him out. So I said, let's haul ass basically on top of the ridge and we'll get on top of him. So at least if he busts him out before we get there, we can see where they go. And we ended up, I snuck in between these, like a crevice in the rocks. It was like a little grassy crevice basically. And I snuck in there and I thought they were going to be like 100 yards below me. And he ended up being bedded like 60, 70 yards across from me. And so I was going to shoot him right there. I was like, oh, holy cow. So I got down and I tried to sneak out there and range them, which was really stupid because they were bedded up against like a vertical rock. So I should have just like ranged the rock from where I was. And
right.
But, you know, in that moment, you want to get things pretty precise. And I had the producer of Best of the West was with me and he was actually filming it. And I was just picking up the bow and I was going to say, hey, I'm going to draw and I'm going to stand up and I'm going to shoot him. And no longer like 2 seconds after I said that, the bigger deer runs 8 yards by us. And I'm like, what the hell? And it turns out we were sitting on their escape route, which I didn't really know at the time. And so the bigger deer runs past us and I didn't get drawn in time before he kind of saw us and went behind the rocks. So I drew and the rest of the deer came up and this buck came around the corner and it was a fairly downhill angle. And he kind of came around some rocks and saw us and kind of jumped sideways. And I had a quartering away shot and it was kind of a steep down angle and I shot him and my arrow buried in there, but I didn't get a pass through. Like it must've hit the front off shoulder and, ran down off the rocks, ran right past that guy and went into some trees and didn't come out. So I was like, all right, let's go back around this cliff, grab our packs and then we'll drop down and go talk to him. And we dropped down to go talk to him and he freaking followed that deer in the trees. And I think, and so we were going back around when he was kind of walking in there. So I never saw if the deer came out, I never saw which way he went. And we found a little bit of blood. And I think the deer bedded up and he kicked him up and who knows where he went from there. We looked all day and couldn't find him.
Did you think about shooting at the crossbow guy? Don't lie.
I was so pissed, dude. I was so mad. Holy cow.
It's funny how it always turns out that you can think you got a golden opportunity and then somebody can just fuck it up.
I know. And like the randomest freaking thing, like you couldn't even make that up.
A guy with a crossbow. What the hell is he doing with a dog and a crossbow?
I don't know. And we talked to him and he looked at me. I'm the only one with a bow and my face is all painted. And he goes, hey, did you shoot that deer? And I'm like, you watched us shoot it, dude. And he's like, well, I was just up here. He said he was hunting grouse.
Because it's probably not legal in Wyoming to hunt with a crossbow, I imagine, unless you have a doctor's order or something.
It could be. You know, I did not even think about that.
Well, it's just
I didn't even look.
If you have a dog out there, chances are you're not going to be that serious. I wouldn't imagine.
Dude, it was so weird. It was so weird. And I was like, yep, that's the luck. So this year, I'm freaking going into wilderness.
Well, you're going to have lots of friends now that you're a resident of Wyoming.
To help pack out, you mean?
No, for that wilderness. You can go with a resident. You can, like, I could come down there and hunt in the wilderness with you as a resident. So I always see people on the forums talking about... You know, not necessarily finding a resident, but they have a resident buddy or they befriend a resident of Wyoming so they can go hunt that wilderness area. So if you see a 208 number in the near future, make sure you answer. Oh, well, Jordan, I guess we're getting close to the end here. Where can people find you? Where are you at?
I'm on Facebook and Instagram. So you can follow me on Facebook. I pretty much make everything public. And then Instagram, I post pictures a couple times a day. I kind of try to keep up on that. And yeah, then on the Rockslide Forum as my name.
It's Jordan. What's your actual Instagram name, Jordan?
Oh, Jordan.BudHunting.
And then what's your Facebook? You have one?
Jordan and Bud is the Facebook. I don't have a public page. It's just a personal page, but I usually post everything public. So
okay,
if somebody's following me, you can see it.
You got to switch that over. You're going to be famous, you know.
No.
Are you still doing the self-film thing?
Yep. I'm still a part of that. We're knocked down to, there's four of us now.
And where's that at? What's that address? URL?
Selffilm.com.
Selffilm.com. And obviously you can find her on Rockslide. So if you have any camera questions, light up that PM box. She said she would love to answer it.
Look me up.
And seriously, guys, if you don't know Jordan, she's a young lady, but she knows what she's talking about. She learned quickly and she has a lot of experience. So anyways, Jordan, we appreciate you having on here. Coming on to
Avery. Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right. I will talk to you soon, I guess.